Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May. Hope everyone's having a good week so far. It's Thursday, 4 p.m. here on the East Coast in New York. And again, we got some hot weather going on, and I think the weekend is going to be scorching. So hopefully everyone's got their ACs going on, the fans cranking, and whatever it takes to stay cool. Very excited to have back on the show after a couple of months away, Barry Cartmill. Barry, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for hosting me.
And so, Barry, now, why don't you just quickly refresh everybody as to what it is exactly that you specialize in?
Okay. I am the president and CEO of Beckett Incorporated. And it is a computer software consulting and technical training company.
Mm-hmm.
I founded the company back in 2002. I provide services in essentially four areas focusing on what is referred to as middleware. It's software that sits between application software and system software. My particular emphasis currently is on messaging, especially asynchronous messaging, as well as integration services, sometimes referred to as mediation services, whereby messages are transformed from different formats, different protocols, additional information is added, messages are subset, whatever, so that an application can send data to another application without having to put it in the way that the application receiving it is expecting it. Now, the four areas that we address with Beckett Incorporated are first, mm-hmm. architecting both applications and the infrastructure. Second is application development and design. Third is system support, including what is referred to as administration, defining the structures that are used. And fourth, providing technical training. And not only does that include formal classes, but also mentoring.
And so, Barry, who exactly comes to you looking for these services?
Well, my customers include a wide variety. A lot of them are Fortune 100. Mm-hmm. However, some of them are smaller organizations. And also, I've worked with a number of government agencies, including some in other countries. I've serviced various industries, the financial services, banks,
sure.
insurance, computer services, software, telecommunications, retail, manufacturing, chemical processing, pharmaceuticals, energy, utilities, higher education, as far as companies. Government agencies have included the military, law enforcement, taxation and revenue, social services, and education.
Wow. And so, I mean, how is it that you've been able to get yourself out there to such, you know, large agencies? I mean, how do people know about your work?
Well, okay. Primarily, I partner with a number of partners. And some of these partners are fairly large. And they essentially involve me in the engagements where they need my expertise. Also, I have taught a number of what is referred to as public courses. These are courses that large organizations such as IBM offer, and students come to those facilities and attend. And I have established a number of contacts through teaching the public classes. Also, I've had the privilege of presenting as well as managing and doing the technical trade shows at a variety of professional conferences. So I've got my name out there that way as well. And sure. I'm glad to say that a number of people have heard of me by just simply word of mouth.
That's, and I'm sure that's a testament to probably the work that you provide then.
I do my best to provide the very high quality work, very, shall we say, thorough,
mm-hmm.
and I strive to provide the highest quality possible.
Sure. And I know that you do a lot of traveling, you said, with work as well, then.
Yes, sir, I do.
And so now, when it comes to the traveling aspect of things, how long do you typically spend away working with clients directly then?
It varies based upon the engagements. For a class, it's usually a week or less, but for longer engagements, I have been on customer sites with somewhat of a break as long as 18, 20 months.
Wow. That's a very long time. Now, that's a big commitment, though, to take, I guess. And I'm assuming that there's a lot that would go into it, and there's, aside from just the training, like you said, there's the many different levels of applications that you have to get into with each client at that point then, right?
Well, those were long-term engagements where basically a business case was presented to establish a service-oriented architecture, SOA, infrastructure. And I laid down the architecture for what turned out to be the mediation services and then was involved in developing and supporting the testing of those services, as well as designing them, and then seeing them introduced into production so that they were used in the company's business.
Wow. And so being based out of, it's Wappinger Falls, right? That the just upstate?
Yes, sir. Wappinger Falls, New York. It's about halfway between Albany and New York City. About 100 miles between each of those, right up the Hudson, what's called the Mid-Hudson Valley.
Sure. Now, do you do a lot of work then between those two areas then? Do you do work up in Albany often and do work down in New York City?
I do work in New York City occasionally. I've done a couple of things around the Albany area, but I have worldwide responsibility.
Right.
The more recent engagements have involved travel, some as close as Connecticut and New Jersey, and others as far away as California, El Salvador, Canada, a lot of trips to Texas and Florida. So it's worldwide, and also several trips to Europe.
Very nice.
Primarily Germany.
Now, I'm curious then, when companies set you up to come out and meet with them, to actually, you know, work with the various departments that they have, who is it exactly that you're training or working with inside of someone's organization?
It's generally the information technology professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Either the people doing the system support and administration, that is, they're doing the install of the product software, doing the maintenance on it. Sometimes it's focused on a specific problem or set of problems to diagnose those. A few engagements, especially recently, have been on moving from one version of the products to another. A migration, if you will. Work quite a bit with the application development professionals, as well as the architects and designers within the area. They're mainly technical folks. Have worked also with various types of analysts, system analysts, and
sure.
business analysts as well.
And do you find that most people that you work with, at least, or that you're, you know, getting into it with, do they know a lot about what they should, or is it, do you find that a lot of people out there in these particular departments, you know, still have some to learn, and that's why you're there, basically?
Well, the area that I'm in is kind of a niche area, and most of the people there have a wide range of responsibilities. They're not just focused on the particular product software that I specialize in, but they are also supporting the whole operating system and other applications, and perhaps even databases and other types of middleware, application servers and so on. So usually they have some experience to non-experience. It ranges in that area. Occasionally they are some people have years of experience with the software, and there I'm going in for specific types of problems or introducing some new features that they haven't used. But most of the time, people don't have a background in this particular area, and they bring me in to help them jumpstart a project, introduce the technology into their organization, and or to just provide basic education to get them started or to get them in a position to do an intelligent assessment of the product and whether or not it will fit into their environment, and if so, how.
And now, is there anything that you find yourself that you get to a job site and you're like, whoa, this is a little too much even for me? I mean, I'm sure with all the technological advances going on, there's always something new coming up. I mean, do you ever seem to get stumped, or is there ever something where you say, you know what, let me take a step back and research and then come back to it?
Well, there's certainly areas beyond the niche that I work in that basically I say, okay, we're going to have to do some research and perhaps bring some additional resources in, and then I'm usually able to partner with people to bring those resources to have it addressed. But most of those situations are avoided by having a specific contract referred to as a statement of work, so that I know ahead of time what is expected and making sure it fits into my skill set. And if there's any research that I need to do, I'm able to at least get started with it up front. Occasionally, there are problems that arise during the engagement, and they often involve contacting the product owners and having problem reports with them and working with the owners of the product itself to resolve the problems.
Do you ever find yourself in the position where you aren't maybe provided with all the information that you needed before getting to a job? I mean, how thorough do you have to be, or does the company really have to be with you prior to getting you to sign on and join them to work with them?
I try to get as thorough as practically possible. Yes, there are sometimes there are some surprises, and yes, there are have been times when there have been changes in the organization and in the personnel of the companies, even between the time I'm scheduled to start or and arrive on site, or while the project is being addressed during the time the project is running. And that requires, you know, some patience and rebasing and flexibility on everyone's part.
So, again, you mentioned the word flexibility. So I'm assuming that for a guy like yourself, I mean, you are a one-man operation, right?
Well, I have a number of partners that I work with as well.
Okay.
So, you know, if there's something outside of my area of expertise or the additional resources that are required, I can work with those partners. So it's kind of like a network of professionals. And we essentially contract and work with each other. So if there's something else that is needed, I rely upon one or more of my partners that are required.
And how accessible are they during the process too? I mean, do they know when you're out in the field doing stuff with a certain client, they know, you know, that you can reach them and it's an easy street to navigate through?
Yes, it is. Yes. There's several of them that all I need to do is send them an email or pick up the phone and call them, and we're able to communicate with each other within a matter of days, if not hours.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I do the same thing for them.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And for everyone just joining us, we're halfway through the show today with Barry Cartmill. You're listening to CMC Radio. Barry, now, just to maybe refresh everyone's memory that might be either just joining us for the first time today or from the last time that they remember you on the show, why don't you tell us exactly how it was that you yourself got into this field?
Into the information technology area?
Yes.
Okay. A little bit of a background. Actually, this is my second career. Before, I was working as a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
And the last position I held as a psychologist was in a mental hospital. And my family and situation had changed, and also I started to become interested in computers, and this was in the early 1980s, around 1980, and a lot of exciting things were happening there. So essentially I went back to school and got an MBA with a focus on management information systems, and started a career. My initial job was with IBM, and that was in 1984, and have been involved with the information technology area ever since.
Wow. Very cool. Now, what was it about it, though, that attracted to you in the beginning?
Well, first was the opportunity to be involved with some significant activity that I saw as having a major impact on life, not only mine, but on society in general and other people's life. Second, I saw the potential of the technology to basically, how should I put it, have an impact to the area of psychology as well. Third is I saw it as a way of providing greater economic benefit to my family, which was rapidly growing at that time.
Cool. And was there anything else aside from this career path that you kind of were looking into, or was this pretty much, this was it?
Well, this was definitely it. There was a brief consideration of possibly going into medical school, going back and going to medical school. But
oh, wow.
I saw potential for this to be much greater.
Well, and it seems to have worked out very well for you, because I'm sure that you enjoy, you know, being your own boss and having the ability to travel for work. I mean, that's got to be a very good feeling.
That's my greatest sense of accomplishment, having founded the company and successfully managed it for now, ever since 2002.
That's great. And
so
since then, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Over 14 years.
Yeah. Now, in that 14-year span, what have you seen as far as, some of the changes that, you know, have occurred with just technology? And, I mean, how have you been able to sustain your skills and progress with them?
Okay, as far as sustaining my skills, essentially I've been involved, and that's one of the benefits of being involved with technical training, mm-hmm. is I have to keep pace with the advances in the product set in order to provide the technical training services. And I get access to the materials to study and actually hands-on laboratories to play with the materials before I'm actually involved in using them in an engagement. I am partners with the owners of the products, so I can gain special access to the products ahead of time. I have been involved with some of their pre-release programs that
right.
have been of benefit. I've also do a lot of research on my own. Keeping up with the technology is a very important aspect of being successful in the consulting business. And I'm able to focus on the particular area because I have a niche. I'm not mm-hmm. trying to keep up with all the fine level details of everything in the IT space. It's
right.
only in a well-defined space that I'm able to successfully keep up with the major changes and how to take advantage of them. Now, some of the things that I have seen, especially going back to 1984 when I first got in the industry, at that time, everything was oriented more or less toward file processing, and basically it was using batch jobs to complete the work. Starting in about, I don't know, mid-80s, a few years later, the emphasis switched to online processing and involving transactions, and more and more emphasis became on databases.
Uh-huh.
Then it moved more to a client-server type of applications, and about the same time, there became a very strong interest in purchasing applications such as SAP R3, Siebel, JD Edwards, etc., instead of developing one's own applications. And there's still, that discussion still comes up. And there's more and more of the purchase. Where I became involved with the technology niche that I am now, there was an emphasis that started to move toward message and event-oriented processing, where more emphasis was being placed on the client-to-business and business-to-business communication, leading to a collaborative type of arrangement between processing, mm-hmm. as well as more emphasis on the Internet to not only be used for research purposes, as it originally started, but also for having it as a basis for communication from customers into businesses, which laid the framework to an emphasis on integration of various technologies, which led to my involvement with the service-oriented architecture, the SOA.
Right.
And a lot of my niche involves providing the enterprise service bus, which is used for the communication of data and the transformation and routing of it between businesses and within the business itself. Now, this has set the stage for a kind of explosion of now integrating a variety of different diverse technologies, such as mobile devices, access to cloud computings, And also for what's referred to as the Internet of Things, where just communications are made wirelessly to various types of devices that are embedded in just everyday objects, things like automobiles and various appliances, security systems, and so on.
And so that's now,
where I think, see things are today, and that's where things, I think, are going into the future. And
right.
I'm very excited about expanding the services of Beckett Incorporated to include those various technologies I just mentioned.
And so with that, though, what else do you have as far as your own personal plans and goals for the future? I mean, do you have anything that you'd like to see yourself doing with the company beyond, you know, obviously what you're already up to, and aside from what you just kind of mentioned here?
Well, that's the major thing is what I mentioned is to disperse into those areas for the integration services and the messaging.
Sure.
Also, I have preliminary plans to go into the area of tying in to decision support and artificial intelligence and looking at incorporating business rule tooling into the niche that I'm working with. And it seems to be some emphasis into that.
Just, I don't know if this is totally off topic or not, but what about as far as, you know, I want to say securities and you know, and keeping hackers away from certain systems. Do you do anything with that, or is that something that interests you?
Yes, that is a major part of the concerns with the messaging, delivering the message. And I certainly, as part of the architecture and the designs of the systems, security is a major concern. Not only accessing access lists for checks and authorization, but also the use of encryption and various types of authentication. Generally, that involves including SSL. That's part of the protocol that's involved.
Now, what is SSL?
A validation of certificates and provide the encryption and decryption of the data as the messages are moved between computer systems and between businesses. So, yes, that's a major concern. As far as the actual authentication of a program starting or having someone log into through the internet, that's usually taken care of by either the operating system or the application itself before the messages are generated by the application. But also more recently with the mediation part of it, there has been an increased use, emphasis, should I say, on security, where there are various types of access checks and authorization verification that can be done during the processing of the applications providing the mediation services, either upon them starting or even in the middle of them as things have changed.
Well,
and
Barry,
the reason that's important is because with the mediation services, mediation applications, it is not unusual for them to call another application in the middle of their processing to obtain some additional data or to have a business rule invoked and obtain the result.
Very interesting. Barry, unfortunately, we're running out of time, though. Real quick, I want you to let people know the best ways to contact you before we have to sign off.
Okay. Probably the best way to contact me is through email. And my email address is the name of my company, Beckett, and INC. So it's B as in Bravo, E as in Easy, C as in Charlie, I as in Item, T as in Tango, I as in Item, N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie, at Verizon.net. You can also give me a call at 914-489-7791. Again, that number is 914-489-7791.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Barry, for coming on today. Everybody, please, you can certainly contact Barry for more information about the company. And please have a great day. Barry, thank you again for joining us, and we hope to have you back on in a couple months to see how everything's progressing.
Okay, thank you for hosting me, and I wish everybody a good day and enjoy the rest of the summer.
All righty. Take care, Barry, and thank you, everybody, for listening. And from everyone here at CMC Radio, this is Rob May saying we'll see you soon. Take care, everybody.